the Reno air races could be saved by the recession. For once, airline and GA lobbyists have found common ground. And a novel multi-role airplane is coming from South Africa. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, September 29th, 2011. In the aftermath of Jimmy Leeward's crash at the Reno Air Races on September 16th, much of the speculation has focused on whether lawmakers or regulators will put an end to the event and others built on the same model. But they may not have to. The tragedy's impact on the insurability of air races in general, and Reno in particular, may be a faster acting force. Dan Reynolds, senior editor of Risk and Insurance magazine, in a September 27th article on the publication's website, cites newspaper reports that the event had $100 million in insurance through Lloyd's of London, and says that may not be enough to cover the claims, given the number of fatalities and injuries. He quotes Finley Harcum, a New York-based insurance recovery partner with Anderson, Kill & Olick, who says, quote, "I could easily see this exceeding that limit," unquote. But in a scenario which might otherwise make the event uninsurable going forward, its ironic savior may be the recession. Steve Johns, president of aviation broker L.L. Johns & Associates, tells Reynolds the aviation insurance market has been very soft, resulting in premium rates 40% below 2002 levels. Reynolds notes that other factors, which will get a look from underwriters, are the representations made regarding the airworthiness of the modified P-51 and the health of the pilot, and the fact that many of the casualties occurred not in the designated seating area, but among spectators who had spread out onto the ramp. The airline industry, which 2 years ago was an active proponent of user fees for general aviation, now finds itself on the defensive against an Obama administration proposal to jack up its own user fees by 50% to cover bloated airport security costs. The proposal may bring a more serious look at the cost-benefit of what's commonly called security theater. The administration's expressed goal is to aid in deficit reduction by making airline passengers pay for 75% of the cost of security, up from the current 50%. But the airlines argue it's not fair to single out their industry for that burden, any more than it would be fair to add a security fee to the prices of box cutters, shoes, or underpants. Steve Lott of the Air Transport Association tells the New York Times, quote, "No other mode of transportation bears the cost of security like the aviation industry and its passengers. Security should be a federal function, and it should be funded as such," unquote. Lott also questions oversight of security spending. Quote, "The amount of money that the industry and its passengers have paid to fund security has soared 50% since 2002. Congress has a responsibility to scrutinize how the money is being spent," unquote. Bob Poole, director of transportation studies for the Reason Foundation, says he supports the premise of shifting security costs from taxpayers to travelers and predicts it will bring more attention to excesses in spending on security. In the meantime, the airlines are on the same page with general aviation on at least one issue, fighting the president's proposed $100 per takeoff user fee on flights using air traffic control services. A South African company called Aerosud Tuesday formally unveiled its first complete manned aircraft design, called ARLAC, for advanced high-performance reconnaissance light aircraft. The company claims significant interest and says it expects to fly the prototype next year. Wind tunnel testing has been completed and 80 flights completed on a quarter-scale model. Construction is described as mostly metal with composite fairings, and the company says great effort has been put into cost-effective manufacturing to keep the price down. Target price is under $10 million, and the plane is expected to appeal to a wide range of military, paramilitary, policing, and civilian tasks and missions. It's designed with a pod which is mission-specific and aerodynamically integrated into the bottom of the fuselage. Users can simply switch the pod to switch the role. Pods can be configured to carry sensors, electronics, weapons, and even supplies which could be dropped by parachute. The aircraft will also have 6 underwing hardpoints to carry weapons. 2 of those hardpoints will also be fitted to carry external fuel tanks. It will also be able to carry a 20mm cannon and can be fitted with ejection seats. The ARLAC is a high-wing pusher turboprop. Aerosud expects a cruising speed of 300 knots, a payload of more than 800 kilograms or 1,760 pounds, and a range on internal fuel of 1,150 nautical miles. It's designed to be highly maneuverable and to operate from short and unprepared airstrips with a takeoff distance of 550 meters or 1,800 feet with full payload. The Arlac is intended for missions such as border security, coastal patrol, internal security, environmental protection, disaster management, and defense missions such as reconnaissance, surveillance, and light attack. The project has not received any government funding. Still ahead, President Obama wore out his welcome at Marlborough Airport. Helicopter incidents bring a work stoppage in California. And more clueless GA pilots have attracted F-15 escorts. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, September 29th. I'm Paul Plack. If you've ever thought it would be neat to have the President of the U.S. visit your city, you might also want to ponder the financial downside. The management of the Marlborough Airport in Massachusetts has filed a lawsuit against the federal government after it says President Obama's entourage caused $676,048 damage to airport property and is refusing to pay for it. According to a report in the Boston Business Journal, Marlborough Airport Properties Incorporated, which runs the airport, was promised that Marine One, the U.S. presidential helicopter, would do no damage to the property when Obama landed there to tour an emergency bunker in the state. And the helicopter didn't do any damage. But the airport says the U.S. Secret Service also showed up with ground vehicles, including a 44,000-pound foam truck, which damaged the property, including grassy areas. Attorney Evans Carter, who's representing the airport, says the feds have refused to provide compensation, claiming, quote, "We haven't shown or proven any negligence," unquote. He's seeking a jury trial in the matter. San Diego Gas and Electric is spending $2 billion to build an electrical transmission line between San Diego and Imperial Counties in California and the state of Arizona on the other end. It's called the Sunrise Power Link, and the project involves lots of work for helicopter crews. But a few days after a newspaper revealed two helicopter incidents which were not reported to the California Public Utilities Commission, that agency has halted the project until pilots receive safety reviews. The Associated Press notes the story ran in the San Diego Union-Tribune, which reported that helicopters hit a boulder in one case and a fence post in another, in both cases with their tail rotors. Section 830 of the Federal Aviation Regulations states that damage to rotors alone does not rise to the definition of an accident for reporting purposes, and San Diego Gas and Electric is reported to have told the Union-Tribune it wasn't clear it had to report it to the State Public Utilities Commission either. AP reports the commission has ordered the helicopter work stopped until the pilots get safety reviews. The utility says it will comply and continue with other parts of the job not involving helicopters. Raytheon reports that the FAA has certified that the company's advanced electronics system has met a milestone for the long-range radar service life extension program regarding the upgrade of aging radar electronics. The new radar transmitters have greater range and will provide improved detection and clutter management capability. The FAA recently announced that an in-service decision had been granted, signifying the system had met the requirements of the contract in areas such as performance, reliability, and maintainability. This decision makes way for production deployments. Raytheon is upgrading the electronics that feed radar information to the U.S. government, including NORAD, DHS, the Department of Defense, and the FAA. Each radar provides surveillance over a 400 nautical mile coverage area and detects commercial and military aircraft. These radars provide greater detection capability of non-cooperative targets. And finally today, F-15 fighters under the direction of NORAD intercepted four separate general aviation aircraft in the vicinity of San Jose, California on Monday. There was a TFR in place for President Obama's participation at a town hall meeting in Mountain View. The Hill reports that the event was sponsored by the business-focused social networking site LinkedIn. In its official statement, NORAD says that in each incident, the civilian aircraft which entered the TFR were intercepted, then departed the area without incident. One of those was apparently a 1942 Stearman biplane. That had to be a sort of spontaneous heritage flight moment. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.